MyBookie has more odds and more prop bets than any other sports book, and absolutely nobody pays out faster. You get your cash when you want it. Sign up now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money to bet your favorite teams. Want more? How about $100,000 more? You win MyBookie's first ever NFL handicapping super contest, and $100,000 is all yours. Don't play on some no-name sports book. Bet with the best at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code RADIO to get your exclusive double your money offer today. That's promo code RADIO. Play, win, and get paid at MyBookie.
St. Louis, we know it was a tough summer. Basking in the glow of the championship was hard work, but the long wait is over. Blues hockey is just around the corner, and what better way to start hockey season than by celebrating our hometown Stanley Cup champions than by throwing an awesome home opener lunch at Clayton City Hall. Come on down Wednesday, October 2nd from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. to Clayton City Hall on North Bemison Avenue for a free lunch with giveaways, a photo booth, special guest appearances, and much more.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Yes, you're laughing in the background because radio is fun. It just is. It's hard to work here and not laugh all the time.
Did you hear what Scott said right before
nope.
He played the song?
I didn't.
You and I were talking about how tall we were when we entered high school and how tall we are now, and you said you were 5'5 when you entered high school?
No, I was 5'5 when I entered my junior year.
You said I was 5'5 when I entered my junior year, and I hated it. And Scott goes, I hate it now.
Unfortunately true.
How tall are you?
5'8.
Oh. That's not... Tom Cruise is like 5'6".
Tom Cruise is a horrible person. But I hate going to the mall because there are 11-year-olds that are taller than me now.
Well, that would...
Something happened.
Yeah, that would bother me.
And it was...
Well, how old Bill Clubland say he is? 5'7" or something? He's shorter than you are.
He is.
Bill,
The only sport I played where height didn't matter was baseball, and it was really the only sport I was good at. But there was still this prejudice. You show up in the field, and they go, look at this kid.
Throw it
right down the middle.
Look, I don't know which is worse, being a really short man or a really tall woman. I guess being a tall woman would be worse. A woman who's 6'2 or something.
No.
I met NASCAR.
Short guys will still want you.
Oh, you can take Johnny out of the picture.
You have to go up on him.
Not enough of him.
Jesus, Dan.
What?
I met a NASCAR driver one time, Mark Martin, who was a big star. He drove the Miller Lite.
Absolutely.
Car. And we had his car at a hockey game one time, and he was there to sign autographs and stuff. Now, he listed his height on his bio at 5'6".
Okay.
No. This guy, he was maybe he was 5'4".
Well... And you don't see any great big guys getting out of those cars.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of room in there. And the same is true for pilots. Watch any of the Blue Angels get out of that jet cockpit. They're short. They're little guys. Any planes, the cockpits are not designed for big people. They're just not.
No. I've never thought that girl is too tall for me. Not one
no
time.
Kidding.
No way.
So
I
you,
have.
So you'd be comfortable at 5'8", which again, that's
she's
not
good
that,
looking.
That's not that short. But if she's 6", no problem for you.
No.
You know why? Because you walk right up to what you're after anyway. Boobs.
That's
face
true.
Face right in the boobs when you walk right up to her. Hi, nice to meet you.
We're all the same height, laying down, baby.
Now
terrible thing.
I'll tell you who I really feel sorry for. That Game of Thrones guy, that Peter Dinklage or whatever, like if you're a midget or something. Now, that has to be. That's got to be.
My friends were at a bar in Detroit, and they went in, and Mini-Me was in there.
Come on.
No, he was. He lived there.
Vern
Troyer.
Yeah.
He lived in Royal Oak.
Did he die?
Yeah. He did.
Yeah, he's
and
dead.
He was, this is so horrible. I've never told it. They walked in, and there's this tall, leggy blonde dancing next to a high bar round table.
Where was this?
In Detroit, Royal Oak, Michigan. And on top of the round sort of bistro table, next to this dancing, leggy blonde, is Vern Troyer dancing on the table sort of next to her. And they looked and went, being famous does have some advantages.
You bet it
but
does.
That's awful.
You bet it
but
does.
But good for him. He had a good run.
Yeah, else died young was... They play Tattoo.
Ooh,
Hervé Villechaize.
Did you see the biography?
Yes.
About, well, that was great.
Excellent.
He was only 2'8" tall, and I thought I remember this.
Who,
I
Vern just, or
Vern
Tattoo?
No, Vern Troyer.
2'8"?
2'8", yeah. And, you know, they ruled his death. And I don't know anybody else whose death was ruled exactly what I'm about to tell you. Suicide by alcohol.
Yeah. Wow.
You never hear that.
Such a little guy probably drank too much on purpose and gave himself alcohol poisoning.
Apparently on purpose. And how would they know it wasn't just accidental alcohol poisoning? Maybe you left a note.
Well, alcohol poisoning is the... Well, his death was reported as a suicide. Alcohol poisoning was the cause of death on his death certificate. Right. But they think he did it on purpose.
Was he the... was he Mini-Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not listening to the show. He said
no,
that.
No, I'm
already.
Not.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the Mini-Me.
The voice you heard before Dan's and before Tim's was the voice of Scott Sherman. He is an attorney, and he's here now to help you, and we're about to take calls. Now, folks, I still don't understand this. There are two lines open. We're ready to go, but there are two lines open. You know who you are if you have a legal issue. If you want to use a first name that's not really your first name, fine, we don't care. But there's help here, and it doesn't cost you anything. So let's take advantage of it. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Up first will be Matt. Matt, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Scott, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Matt, good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I'll try to make this short because it's kind of a long story. But 3 years ago, I put in a pool in my backyard. I lived over in Illinois. And part of the construction, I put a swale on the back side of the pool.
Now, hang on a second. What does that mean?
A swimming pool. I'm sorry.
Okay, but what's a swale? What?
Like a berm?
A swale. A swale. It has a depression in my lawn to handle my neighbor's storm drainage water.
Okay.
Because I live below him, so he's sending a lot of storm drainage water to me.
Okay.
After I put in the pool, had it inspected and permitted by the city, he decided to do a lot of regrading and landscaping projects in which he altered the flow of the water away from the swale, and now it floods my entire yard. And so I recently put up a berm to try to redirect it back to where I had the swale, and he has now called the city on me, and the city is telling me it's a civil matter, and I'm just wondering if I've got any recourse in this situation given the changes he made after I made changes to mine, even on below.
I am not even going to attempt to try this one. Scott, take it away.
I think you do have some recourse. And the recourse is he created an unnatural flow of water. He took the natural flow of water and he redirected it. And then that became a hazard to you, and you were redirecting the water away from yourself and your property. Under the riparian rights rules that we follow in the Midwest, Illinois and Missouri follow those, I think you have every right to direct that water away from yourself because it is a hazard to your property. What I would do, and I have the perfect person in mind, is consult with a real estate lawyer about the interplay of these rules. Since the city is not going to come down on you, which is a great sign, if you were hit with ordinances that you didn't get permits or you did some kind of excavating work without a permit, that can be extremely expensive, and you would hate that because you'd be paying for a lawyer and you'd pay new contractors. In this particular sort of situation, I think they're throwing it back on you and the other landowner, and I don't see a way where they could sue you and get you to change that. So before you say, okay, I'm out of the woods, I think you should consult with a real estate specialist in Illinois. What county are you in?
I'm in Columbia, Illinois, but St. Clair County.
Okay.
I'm always curious about this, too. What kind of relationship do you have with this neighbor? Do you guys speak to each other or no?
We were fine until this moment because he took exception to the berm because now for a brief period of moment it holds up the water to try to get it, but it still even overflows my berm. Because I made sure I put it even below his level of the yard.
Yeah, well, he may have an exception to the berm. He may have an exception to the berm. Doesn't he understand? You also have a problem with we take exception to what he did before that? Doesn't he understand that?
Well, he knows I've been trying to handle it because I spent thousands in putting French drains in trying to deal with it in a neighborly way over the last 3 years, and he's never once offered to help or do anything. But now he takes great exception to the fact that I've taken a more serious step in putting a berm between the yards.
Yeah, I don't see why this is any different what he's done to you as if he had. Everybody knows what a gutter is and how it collects at the roof's edge and it goes down and comes out a spout. If he had attached a hose to his drain spout on his gutter and put it right at the edge of your property to run into your pool, I don't see why that would be any different. Yeah, I don't think you can. I think you'll win here, but I also think, as we say many times, obviously he doesn't care what you think, and he's not going to do anything because of what you think. So time for an attorney letterhead to get his attention. And if you're already on the outs, you're not losing a good neighbor anyway, or good friend.
Well, that's it. I just want to make sure whatever I do it properly, and if I've got to make additional changes, I don't want to get.
That's
in trouble
a very good point,
or anything else.
Because the changes that you've made, this berm or the tell I'm like a mini sort of levee system, the mini system that you put in to prevent your property from being flooded, if it does redirect water back at his property, you don't want that to be exposed for causing damage. So don't do anything else until you speak to a real estate lawyer. If you have one, great. If you don't, got somebody that's not far from there, send me an email. I'll put you in touch with that person, and you will have a nice conversation. I think you'll be fine.
And based on what Matt said, he's already spent quite a bit of money.
And he did it defensively. He didn't do offensively. Right. He didn't say, you know, I put in this berm or I put in the swale, and then since that, then it's flooding my neighbor. What do I do? I don't really care. So he's on the defensive side of this, trying to protect his property from what the neighbor has done, rather than doing an offensive maneuver that had a consequence. So I think you're in a better position. I'm pretty confident you're okay. Don't have to do anything, but spend a few bucks. Make sure you've got it down right, and then that's it.
And Matt, the big question, do you know Scott's email address?
I do, and I forget because I listen every week, guys, but I guess it's nose radio. It'll be on the phone.
Take a run at it. Just go. See what. Just try it. What's his email address?
Scott Sherman.
Okay, you're right. You don't know. Go ahead, Scott. Lay it on him.
Ready, Matt?
Yes.
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Sounds good.
Good luck,
hearing from me.
Good luck, Matt. Good luck.
Cool.
Thank you.
Folks, we've said this before. You can have the finest house. You can have your dream home. You can have the perfect lawn and the perfect kids and... But that one neighbor from hell next door can ruin your life. I don't care. It counters everything else that you love and ruins everything.
Have you ever lived
actually going home?
Yes, I was gonna say. Have you ever lived next to or near someone that you detest so much that you just wish you could just move,
or that there are people that have moved? I personally, I'm sitting here trying to think, no, but I've had family members who have, and I don't think I've ever. I will tell you that my parents did, up until just before they died. They had somebody, he literally made them dread walking out in their own yard, because they did not want to encounter him. It was horrible.
Ugh, that is horrible.
Yeah, the neighbor from hell, and that's what's interesting, too, about real estate. I've heard people ask real estate agents, well, who are my neighbors? It doesn't matter, because if that neighbor moves, that could be the greatest neighbor in the world. You can't control who might come in next and who might move there.
My cousin was going to buy his first house, and he was telling me where it was, yeah. And I went over to look at it, and this neighborhood was just, I was like, what is this place? And he goes, the neighbors are so cool. And I go, is that right? Good luck to you. And fortunately, he didn't move there. But every time his brother and I have a conversation about real estate, we say to each other, in my cousin's voice, the neighbors are cool.
You bet. I see we had a line open, but we don't. Somebody just jumped on it. So let's go to Will, who I think has been waiting the longest. Will, thank you for your patience. Welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman, AM and a PM.
Thank you, Will.
We talked a couple of weeks back about the grass and the neighbors over here in Spanish Lake and yada, yada. And it's still nothing has been done from the time you and I talked. And after the holiday, I figured the city would get on it. That grass is still 3 feet tall. They cut the corner. The city come out yesterday and cut the corner at Larimore where the bus stop is. The weeds were probably 5 feet. And so they get a backhoe and with an attachment, and they come down in the yard, and now we've got two ruts in this yard. But what infinite wisdom. And it, I wish you would just never cut it at all, because it looks worse. This is the service that we get. What do we do, Scott?
I just so you know, I went and found the owner of that property.
Yes,
it's a company in California, which is very strange.
He was down in, they keep selling it out.
There's an LLC in California, which is an unbelievably strange place to own some one property in the United States. Why don't you do this? Send me an email, and maybe we can send a letter to whoever the LLC people are. And
folks been to it just last week over the weekend, and I stood out there at the driveway, and the lady was pulling in, and I was going to introduce myself as a neighbor. She saw me, sat on her phone, wouldn't get out of the car. Nobody would talk to me.
Well, I have another idea, and that's this. I have a few cases now that are bubbling up. Sort of, I think they're quite interesting, and I'll put yours into the basket. I'm going to run them by a friend of mine that's a media person, and maybe they'll pluck yours and go out there and make a story out of it. But
well, here it goes deeper than that, y'all, because we've had a lot of crime in this neighborhood. They stole my trailer, and then on the Channel 4 over here on Fry and Lilac behind Hardee's, and I know the house is up there, and I do a lot of digging myself, but that's where a lot of the stolen cars were that they found. Plus, these groups coming in fixing these houses up. We don't know who contractors and grass cutters are. They don't have the proper identification. I know when I had my tree service and I went out to Town and Country or Baldwin anyway, I had to go in and get a permit, let them know I was there, show proof of insurance, and all of that. Because they wanted to know who the hell was there, who was doing the work, and make sure they didn't leave a mess behind. Over here, you could be Alibaba, and they won't check you.
Jeez. Yeah, those people, you'll hear people pull that name out.
Alibaba.
Well, why don't we discuss this? Send me an email. We'll talk about it, and we'll set something up for next week. I'll put you in my basket of fun,
okay,
and we'll see what we
can
do.
And, Will, I'm assuming...
Can we set up a GoFundMe page so Will can move?
Go right ahead.
Good luck, Will.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you. I'm assuming he already has your email address because he's contacted you before. So let's move along. That means the line is open, everybody. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Now, if in the background in the distance, if you hear just an occasional noise, ignore it. It's because we've decided to open the studio door because it gets hot in here. Yet it's really nice and cool right outside the door. So if it gets real loud, we'll close the door. Apologies, but I figured you'd understand. That line is still open. Jump on it. Call it. We're going to now talk to, this is an odd name, Dan, and Dan never makes a mistake, Nurnar. Nurnar, how are you? Welcome to 590. The fans say
Bernard.
Hi. What is it?
Bernard.
No, you have Nurnar, N-E-R-N-A-R. That's what you put on there, Nurnar. That's like somebody from another, like an alien. Nar.
That's the Norwegian way to spell Bernard.
Oh, okay. Right.
Bernard, welcome to 590. The fans say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. And AM and the PM and Frank Carson in the
day. Oh, you're welcome, Nar. How can Scott help you?
I have a situation where I hit a fire hydrant in a parking lot.
Ooh.
But it was an unprotected fire hydrant, and it was actually in the parking lot, surrounded by a painted stripe. And my question is, every parking lot I've gone to where there was a fire hydrant in a lot had to be protected by poles, pipes, or something longer than the fire hydrant that was painted in a fluorescent paint to be noticeable.
Well, when you say they had to, do you know for a fact that by law they had to?
No, it's just what I've seen. I drove around looking at who else has a fire hydrant sitting out in the middle of a parking lot unprotected.
I don't know.
That's not protected by a curb or anything like that.
Well, I don't know, but to me, that's fairly easy to see. It's in the middle of a parking lot, and I don't know why they would have. But I'll turn it over to Scott here. I'm going to take a run at this and say that, is this a public a parking lot for some kind of public business?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to guess that they're well within their rights to do it the way they did it, or they would have done it otherwise if they had never been, some nobody was signed off on letting them open or do business. So I got a feeling they can do it. Here's Scott.
Nirnar, were you cited? Did you get a ticket for this or?
No.
Okay.
No. And I did go to the local police department and report it.
Do they want you to pay for it? Okay. Mm-hmm. This is just sort of a question of generality.
Can I ask a quick question before you get to what he can or can't do? Nernar, how fast were you going when you hit the fire hydrant? Fire hydrants are substantial pieces of steel. How fast were you going?
I was pulling out of a parking space, but it's a recessed fire hydrant, and I'm in a bigger truck. So I didn't realize it was there, and I made a left turn to avoid a pot truck on the right, and I heard what I thought was a scratch.
Boy,
and the next thing I know, it was the whole bottom of my front right bumper area was totally wiped out.
Yeah, I was going to say
$5,000.
I was going to say the fire hydrant usually wins because they're anchored pretty well. They're substantial. Here's Scott to tell you whether or not you have a case. I'm going to say probably not.
It's a flip. At first, I thought this was a defendant kind of case. You know, how are we going to defend Nernar from the city? And now it's a plaintiff case.
Yeah.
So I would say, short of an ordinance or a state law that requires these fire hydrants to have certain protections or designations around them, which I've never seen, you're going to have a difficult time saying that they violated the law by putting it there. The then question is that a dangerous condition or an abnormally dangerous condition that isn't open and obvious? If it's, I guess, subgraded, or I've never seen a recessed fire. I mean, am I?
It's not. He said it was recessed. Right? It's just in the parking lot.
It's only recessed because it goes as the hill goes down.
Oh, okay. So it follows. Yeah, okay. So it's not partially sort of covered. I would say that. Have you made a claim through your auto insurance to fix the truck, or are you just with a damaged truck?
No, I tried to find the owner of the property, and then I just couldn't wait anymore, so I went ahead and made the claim.
Okay. Are they going to try to subrogate against the owner of the property? Meaning, you know,
they haven't said yet.
Do they know the owner of the property? If you texted me or emailed me the property address, I'll find you the owner in about 2 minutes.
Right, here's the other thing I think is going to come in.
I don't think it's a strong case.
No, I don't either.
I think it is open and obvious enough that fire hydrant's there.
Right.
And unfortunately, Nernar, what you should have done, really, is let the other car that was on your side of the parking lot hit you. And then, instead of sort of driving out of the way and leaving the space and driving onto and into this fire hydrant, he would have or she would have struck you, and then you would have gone after them.
Here's the other thing. I'm going to guess you can't find a lot of other cases where people's vehicles have been damaged by this thing. If you could, look at 15 other people didn't see this thing, then you might have something. But I'm going to bet that's not the case. So,
well, I can attest to the fact that other people have hit it based on the paint that's missing off of it prior to my hitting it, but and places where I didn't hit it.
Yeah,
but the other thing is, I went around the parking lot, and also there are other fire hydrants in there. It's a very big piece of property, but the other ones are surrounded by asphalt curbs. This is the only one that's not.
If that may have been something they did on their own.
Okay.
Because I'm guessing, look, any business, anything about that business, from the way the back doors are positioned and how the locked rooms, their emergency exit and curbing, and they have to meet certain requirements or they're going to get cited, fined, or not allowed to be open. I'm going to guess if they had been supposed to do anything more without hydrant, they would have done it. They did only what they had to do, and in this case, not much, because the fire hydrant generally... pretty obvious. I can see how if you're backing up, you wouldn't see it because it's low. But now we got rearview mirror cameras. I'm going to go with what I said before, and I think Scott agrees. I don't think there's much here.
And let's say, for instance, they said, okay, you're 80% at fault. That's the other problem with cases in this part of the country. You've got a sliding scale of fault. Not every case is 100% the fault of any one particular person. So let's say you give the information to your insurance carrier. They've got a $500 deductible. If they collect 20% of your deductible, they'll give it back to you. But in this instance, I don't think other than telling your insurance carrier what happened and giving them the name, or I can give you the name of the landowner, much is going to happen here. Nobody was hurt. It's not a huge amount of money in the eyes of insurance companies. And other than having a sort of a janky parking lot situation, I don't see it changing.
Okay. And where would I find the ordinances related to that?
Oh, there's a thing called Muni Code, which is online, which is free. And in the municipality or city that that this happened, and you can look through there. You can just Google it, fire hydrant installation. Maybe there's a state law. But I don't know that other than having it, I don't know. I wouldn't know. There are people that are in the sort of fire protection business that would absolutely know, and I don't.
Okay, just so you know, Scott, I did send you an email with photos of the area, so you'll probably get that when you get to your emails, I guess, today, tomorrow, whenever you get back to it. But I did...
Just now? Or?
No, actually, it's probably been about a week ago.
Oh, boy. I better go check my spam.
And Nainar, what was that email address you used? Do you remember?
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Look at this guy. Nainar knows.
Nainar did.
He knows.
I didn't see it yet.
All right, good luck with this. I think it's a real long shot, but hey, good luck.
Thanks much, and thanks for the new name.
You bet. Thank you, Nainar. Look at this. See, there are people catching on. They know the call. Oh, line just opened. Nainar hung up. So 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Doug, it's your turn. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Doug. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. My question is around estates and avoiding probate. I've got beneficiaries listed on all bank accounts, investment accounts, things like that. How is the best way to deal with a house in the event of it's joint right of survivorship now, my wife and I? If something were to happen to both of us, we have two kids, would that have to go through probate in that situation? Or because the children are related, if we were to pass away and it's not deeded to them or something, that's avoided.
How old are the kids?
22 and 25.
Oh, so they're adults. No, it doesn't have to go through probate. That's a guess as an answer. Here's Scott.
Beneficiary deed. Even, let's say you decease at the same time, unfortunately, in an airplane or a car or something. You can have a beneficiary deed on your joint tenancy with right of survivorship in case neither of you predecease, or if one of you is incapacitated, then it can pass through the designation on the beneficiary deed. So, real estate lawyer, it's a simple thing. It's a couple of $100.
But the answer is, does it have to go to probate?
No.
No, it does not.
No, it does not. And then for the other stuff, things that aren't titleable or transferable, that should, to avoid probate, be in a trust. Trusts avoid probate. And there are benefits and sort of disadvantages to trust, especially for people that want to maintain or retain the ownership while they're alive. But to the answer to the question of avoiding probate at all costs, exactly the way you did things that have titles or that can be designated, and also trust for stuff that can't.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Doug, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. There goes Doug, and here comes a line that's open. Boom, right now, it's clear. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Carol, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman. Carol?
Oh, hey, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
AM and the PM.
That's a good way to be.
So I have a question. It's not a huge deal. It just is irritating me, honestly. We got a bill in February of this year, 19, from a company that my husband previously got CPAP machine supplies from. He hasn't used them since February of 2017, doing things online. And we get a bill for $175 in April, over 2 years later, for about 10 items.
Did you buy the items? I mean,
I have no idea.
Were they ever delivered?
Well, he bought from them for several years. There was never a late payment. There was never a missed payment.
He was on some sort of regular shipment schedule?
Right, okay, right, for okay. filters and yeah. stuff like that.
Did you ever cancel that regular shipment schedule?
Yes.
I guess you. Oh, you did? You sent them notice saying we no longer need this
stuff? Well, he didn't order again.
Well, but sometimes you don't have to order again. What you have to do is cancel the current. In other words, put it into the current situation, which is till further notice. Their understanding is you want a regular monthly or quarterly shipment of these things. Until you tell them specifically to stop, they're going to keep sending them, and they probably have every right to be paid if you didn't say we don't want them anymore. Scott, take it.
Carol, did you do these transactions online or over the phone or through the mail?
Through the mail, okay. With this company.
When you canceled it, how did you cancel?
It was paid electronically, but okay. We got the materials.
Do you have the original agreement that you made with them somewhere? I know it's a crazy question, but...
Probably not, because that was probably 2013 or 14.
I got a dual track on this. One, there could be an opening here where you got dinged unnecessarily, and they've done this to hundreds of thousands of people, and you have a really good class action suit. Or the contract that you originally agreed to had some, like Frank said, recurring charge clause, and things crossed either in the mail or there was one delivery late, or you didn't
cancel. And they
didn't
bill us for 2.5 years?
Well, whether they billed you or not is a good defense, but it wouldn't speak to the question of when you canceled and what the language of the agreement is. What I would do is
Excuse me for interrupting.
Sure.
But I did call them, you know, several times, and they said, well, we put in a new system, and...
Well, that's not a good answer.
Things got kind of mixed up, and so some things are, I mean, over 2 years.
Have them...
And I have no idea whether he got this filter in February
I would call.
Are you saying, Carol, that you continue to be shipped the stuff after you said we don't want it anymore?
After he didn't order again? No, I don't know. Not that I know of. He got the last stuff. We paid the bill, and
she
never ordered from him again.
And nothing ever turned. You didn't receive anything. So they can't. So their best argument or only argument would be, well, this was something for something that you didn't cancel in time. But what you're saying is their excuse was our system changed, which is a horrible answer. I think that if you wouldn't mind.
And it's $175. But,
well, $175 is not only a lot of money.
Right.
It's a lot of money. Somebody came and stuck a gun in your face and said, give me $175. That would not only be a horrific thing, that'd be a lot of money. It's not money that belongs to them, or it's money that does belong to them. What I'm saying is they need to prove that you owe it to them, and if they would send you a copy of the original agreement, email it to you. Hey, where's our original agreement? Email it to us.
I don't know that there even was an agreement. It's just he ordered from them when he needed stuff.
That's the agreement.
I mean, we didn't sign any contract or anything with them.
Well, when you call and you order stuff, they send you terms
that's
of the agreement.
Okay.
Can I mention something here real quickly? Carol, I didn't notice this until about 2 months ago. And like a lot of people, we now have become Amazon, not addicts, but I don't think there's a week we don't get something from Amazon. And I noticed something in there where it said, check here, where you put the cursor and fill in a little dot, if you do not want this to be a regular monthly shipment. And if I hadn't noticed that and checked it, guess what? They would have sent the stuff every month. And they have tricky ways now that they do
this. Right, and I'll tell you this. We used to have something called contracts of adhesion, where they'd sneak all this language in, like on the back of a baseball ticket or something. You agree by going with this, and wave all this
stuff.
And nobody reads it. And now it's point and click, these terms of service agreements. Well, thank you to the United States Supreme Court. They have upheld the point and click term of service agreements that you cannot negotiate. Basically, contracts of adhesions are all... fine now. They're all codified. And so whether you clicked something, signed something, or just like Frank said, didn't sign something, you have to get the original whatever it is agreement or ask for it. If they can't produce it, you have a very strong argument that not only do you not owe that, but if they've dinged your credit because of this, or they try to come after you for this, or if there are 100 million other people that have been sort of ripped off by this CPAP, the supply company, you have an action against them. For what? probably a class action suit where you may get something or may not. But if this is aggravating you and they won't just wipe it out or write it off, get the original agreement.
It just makes me mad. We're not people that don't pay our bills. And
well, it's not your bill.
I can't.
You're paying an extortion.
And all you're asking them for now is something you have every right to ask them for, and that's just, would you please send us a copy of the agreement that shows where at any time we asked you to keep sending that stuff? And if they can't do it, that's it. I mean,
they didn't keep sending us stuff.
So they kept billing you.
After he didn't order from them, we never got anything again.
So then what happened? They kept billing you?
No, they're just sending us a bill.
There's a two-year gap. Now here comes this bill.
So they're billing you for something you never got.
And is it the original company or is it some third-party collection?
No, it's the original company.
Well, I would insist that they prove to you in writing where you owe the money.
Well, hang on a second. I'm going to make sure I understand that. They're billing you for something you never got, correct?
They are saying that in February of 2017, he got these items, and we did not pay for them.
Did he get them?
I have no idea 2.5 years ago, but this is when they're sending the bill.
Let's say no.
They're saying
Let's
we
say
got.
No. We never got it. Where's the bill of lading that they would show that it was shipped? Where's the agreement that say that these sort of continual monthly charges have to accrue? They need to give that to you.
Well, they are not. I should say this. They are not, you know, charging interest. They're not.
I don't care.
You know, threatening to turn it over to credit. I would get the same amount.
Frank, we got a great. I get the perfect business model for us. Here's what we do. We get a list of everyone in St. Louis. We send them a bill for $175, and we tell them we won't charge you any interest if you just pay this bill.
And here's the sad truth:
half the people
we get a ton of money.
That'd be it.
Yeah,
that's our thing,
but not from people. But not from people like Carol.
No,
because she's too smart.
And she'd ask us to send something, and we would say, "Well, we're not charging you interest."
Yeah,
right.
No, this is a tough one, simply because you, from what I can hear in your voice, you're not even really sure whether or not you received the material that they say you
exactly. What I do know is he did. You know, we did businesses with them for 2.5 years. And they agree that, yes, there was never a missed payment, never a late payment, never a balance due on a payment.
Actually been able to get on the phone in person with somebody at this company who's...
Yes, I've talked to them several times.
And at any point in that conversation, did you say, would you mind just sending us some sort of proof that we...
Oh, absolutely. I told him I wanted a copy of every order he got, and I got about, a quarter inch thick, maybe a half to a half inch thick.
Dan, could you show people, Dan Strauss, Dan's not even, Dan, would you listen to the show? Would you join us? Would you join us? Yeah. Will you just show everybody a half inch, quarter to a half inch, please? Yeah, that's how thick the paperwork was.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan, for joining us.
And it's swollen.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
You can go back now to your party over there, whatever it was.
Yeah, we are having a party. Yeah.
Okay, good. Wow, this is a real tough one. If they're not threatening any kind of action or charging anything, quite frankly, what I do right now is ignore the thing until something like that happens. She's probably tired of
it. If they sent her something and didn't circle it or highlight and say, this is the one you owe us,
right,
then how do they know that she owes anything? And if that's the best they can do, I think having a 15-minute conversation with somebody that handles these kinds of consumer issues, because who knows, maybe, Carol, have you guys checked your credit report lately to see if this is on there?
We have not, but we have.
I don't want you to cause,
credit.
I mean, I know.
Yeah, no,
I don't.
I
don't want you to go out and ding your credit. I don't want you to do that by checking it. You see, sometimes it'll ding just by checking it. I don't want you to do
that. Nothing that we're aware of.
Okay, but so here's what Frank's situation, ignore it. Or since it's aggravating you, talk to somebody. It's free. See if this is something that you should just ignore, or see if this is something where you may be getting gouged here. I can't say for sure. My guess is...
John, how about this? The other way to end this.
Yeah.
One letter from an attorney, it's not going to cost that much, right, saying, my client is tired, of receiving these bills where there's no evidence that my client owes. Would you please provide? That just might end it. Because if they can't provide that, then I'm going to run the risk for $175 to have an attorney come after.
Right, especially since they didn't sell it off. Right. When she says it's their company, they got to pay somebody $10 or $12 an hour to talk on the telephone. Carol, keep them on the phone for 12 hours. Now it's cost them more than $175, and then say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to pay it. Just one day, just talk to them all day long.
Right. Yeah.
I think the again. So many times it comes down to one letter, attorney letterhead, and I'm not kidding. That'll end it probably.
One day we'll get a class action. One day.
Yeah.
And how do I get that letter?
Well, Sam's got an email. He'll help you get that together. Yeah. You have his email address?
I'm gonna try.
Do it. You can do this, Carol.
Law office of Scott Sherman. @gmail.com.
I told you.
There you go. Look at this.
There you go. All right. Good luck, Carol.
All right. Okay. Thank
you. Frank Center bill for $175.
I can tell in her voice she's tired of this. You know, I can hear it. She's just tired of it.
It is annoying to have something where somebody says you owe them something and you know, believe you don't. That's horrible.
All right. Line's open. We have enough time. Maybe. Take a run at it, folks. 85 because we got a couple other callers. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Let's get Teresa in here. Teresa, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Well, hello, Scott Sherman.
Well, hello, Frank Teresa.
I'm sorry?
I said hello, Scott Sherman, Frank and the gang.
Oh, that's us, Frank and the gang. Hello, Teresa.
That's you guys.
Yeah, Tim didn't want to speak to you, but Delaney said hello to you.
That's all right.
What do you got, Teresa?
Okay, my mother sadly passed away last October. She had a house in St. Louis City, which she had owned, but found out she had a line of credit. So I would assume that's like a second mortgage?
No. Line of credit means the money has been approved to loan you if you need it. You're good for, right, Scott?
That's right.
You didn't owe anything yet. Okay. It just means if you need it, you're pre-approved. We have it for you.
Okay. Well, she had a line of credit of $50,000.
Okay.
But the nuts and bolts of this is she passed away and there was still a large balance that she owed. Now, I'm the only child. And when I was looking through all her paperwork, I noticed she had filed on the original house documents, I guess, in the city, that I was the TOD.
Okay.
So my question is, she had the line of credit with a huge banking institution. Would I be liable for any of that money that she owed?
First of all, the line of credit doesn't have anything to do with anything. That's not money owed, right, Scott?
That's right.
That's money she never.
That's money theoretically
for there if she needed it.
Okay. Well, I had been getting her mail because she was in a nursing home for the last 6 months of her life.
Right. And this money she's owed that you're interested in. You don't want to know if you're liable for it. Is this? I'm sorry, I must have missed the first part. Is this on a home? Is it money owed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's on a home.
It's a lien on the real estate?
Yes.
All right.
Well, if it was transferable on death to her, yeah.
Well, the home would be encumbered by that lien. You would not owe it. They couldn't sue you because you didn't make the agreement. But if you went to sell the property, that lien must be satisfied in order for it to be transferred. So you would take that subject to the lien on the real estate, just like you would take subject to a mortgage. If let's say somebody leaves you a house, the house is appraised, it's $3 million. Oh, great. Well, they owe $3.2 million. Congratulations.
Right.
Good luck, and you'll start keep paying $14,000 a month. So you don't just get a free house when somebody leaves it to you either through a transfer or a beneficiary designation or you get it awarded in a probate matter.
You only get
that right follows it's called following the land. It follows the real estate. And so you wouldn't quote owe it, but if you went to sell it, that would have to be satisfied. It's not extinguished by the passing of your mom.
Okay, well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that the house was dilapidated and needs a ton of repairs, and it wasn't worth anything for me to even pursue that. My main concern was, oh my gosh, my name was on the title as a POD. I was concerned that loan or whatever she had against it was going to be transferable to me since I'm the only.
No, not unless you were a party to that agreement. This is the problem that co-signers have when they co-sign loans and other things for people that don't pay, as they are on the hook. You're not. What's this? What's going to happen with this house? Are you going to let it go for taxes? Are you going to try to sell it?
I've been getting lots of like little flyers and the type of companies that buy ugly homes.
Right, throw those in the trash can. If you need a real estate lawyer, because there may be some money on this thing, even though it may be subject to a lien, it may have issues with it. And let me tell you, if someone's sending you a flyer, it's worth money.
Yeah.
And it's worth more money.
And the person sending it to you wants to steal it from you.
That's right.
Right. Well, I had one company. I thought, okay, and this is when my mother was alive. I had one company come in and gave me this ridiculous bid.
Yeah, of course.
And I said, no, absolutely not.
That's what they do.
Teresa, those people, just like I tell people, it's like, did the police call you or did you call them? They called me. Well, then that's not great news. If they're contacting you, they're not helping you. If you want someone to work for you or look into it, send me an email. I'll give you a real estate lawyer. It'll get
worse. We are just about out of time. Do you, Teresa, have Scott's email address?
LawOfficeScottSherman.com.
So close.
I emailed you like 3 months ago and never got a reply.
That's why.
That might be why.
Maybe that's the reason. Scott, let her have it.
LawOfficeScottSherman@gmail.com.
Okay.
All right, Teresa.
All right. I will definitely send you an email. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Sorry about your mom.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for listening, too. We appreciate it. Well, as see, now lines are still full, but now we're also out of time. We'll do it again next Thursday, just as we have for, what did we say, 4 years?
Four years.
A little over 4 years now. So would you please show you will be back next Thursday.
You bet.
And yard sale.
Saturday morning.
Saturday, 7 to 9 o'clock, where you co-host with Dan Strauss. When he's on with you, does he actually pay attention? Does he do like here? Like right now he's on the phone with somebody having a private conversation.
Pretty much like
same
that.
Thing. Yeah. Okay. Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Well, we, as of this week, we have you taken care of not just with your teeth, but now with your eyes. Dr. Jason Brenton and Brenton Vision came on board. So we'll get to them a little later and tell you a little bit more than we've already told you, and even more to come, because when it comes to your eyes, there are, I don't know how many, 100 different things that people can have wrong, and at least that many procedures. But with teeth, is kind of the same way. I mean, when I think of dental work, I think of fillings, cleaning, x-rays, extraction, which is tooth pulling, veneers, caps. Slimy, you got veneers, right?
I did.
Yeah, caps, crowns. That's it for me. I'm out. That's all I know. But there's so much more. And most people, they never think about the gum issue. If your gums aren't healthy, ask any doctor, any kind of doctor, whether or not that's a good idea. Not just a dentist, and they'll tell you, no, it's not a good idea. Because there are all kinds of complications that can arise from people who don't have healthy gums. So teeth, gums, Ballast Dental Care. Now, why Ballast Dental Care over any one of, I don't know how many dentists are in the St. Louis area, 300? I would probably.
There used to be one on every corner.
Yeah. So they all have a little spit sink. And the paper cups and, you know, the suction thing that hangs in your mouth. They all have that stuff. You know what they don't have? Dr. Obi-Wan Kenobi Watanabe, my dentist, or Dr. Olivia, Dr. Haynes. They don't have Lisa, who sometimes will sing. You can hear her singing in the clinic. They don't have Leah. They don't have Tricia. They don't have Mary. See? I know their names. They know my name. Doesn't that sound like a great place to go to the dentist? The answer is yes, it does, because it is. It is a great dental clinic. And you will never again dread a dental appointment. You'll actually look forward to it. I ask you to do one thing. Make one appointment at Ballast Dental Care. You will have found your new dental home. The corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee is promising to step up investigations into President Trump. Congressman Jerry Nadler's committee approved rules for governing a possible impeachment today. He said before proceeding on impeachment, the committee first must